Does Islam need to face up to the endorsement of violence in the Quran and the Hadith, the sayings of the Prophet, an endorsement which is used by fundamentalists to justify what many would regard as acts of terrorism? Tawfiq Hamid says it must do so, and has just published a book called The Roots of Jihad, in which he reveals first-hand experience of the thinking of such fundamentalists. He says that while he was a student in Egypt in the 1970s, he belonged to a radical Islamic group among whose members was Al-Qaeda's number two, Dr. Ayman Zawahiri. I was joined earlier by Tawfiq Hamid and by Dr. Abdul Jalil Sajid, Imam of the Brighton Mosque, and one of the leaders of the Muslim community in this country. I asked Mr. Hamid first how he met the future deputy leader of Al-Qaeda.
I was in the medical school and I joined the Jama'a Islamiyah, which was a legal body inside the medical school. It's an Islamic organization that was classified later on to be a terrorist organization. And one day I found some person who was speaking after the prayer. It was Asr prayer, and he was speaking with extreme passion about the concept of jihad, how Muslims should dominate the world. And I was very impressed with his passion and his way of speaking in Islam. And I asked a friend of mine after this, who is this person? And he said to me, this is Dr. Ayman al-Zawahiri. And he was one of the most famous Islamists or jihadists at that time.
Now, what did he draw upon in the Quran and the Hadith to justify acts of violence and, as a lot of us would see it, acts of terrorism?
He based his views on a hadith in a book called Al-Bukhari that says, "Umirtu an uqatil an-nas hatta yaqulu la ilaha illallah," which means I have been ordered to fight and kill all mankind until they say no God except Allah, which means to surrender to Islam. And based on this hadith and other verse, early Muslims are said to invade the world, to subjugate it to Islam or Islamic Sharia system or law based on this hadith. And they also used another verse of the Quran that says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, حَتَّى يُعْطُوا الْجِزْيَةَ عَنْ يَدٍ وَهُمْ صَغِرُونَ. The concept of declaring wars on non-Muslims or dividing the whole world into Dar Harb and Dar Salam. Dar Harb is an area of war, non-Muslims, that Muslims should declare war on them to subjugate them to either Islam or to take money from them called jizya, or to kill them. This was the rule that happened in history, and this how Islam was interpreted. Until now, this interpretation hasn't changed dramatically yet.
Well, can I bring in Imam Sajid at this point? And do you accept that the Hadith and the Quran there have been quoted correctly?
Hadith and Quran are the two main sources of Islamic law, Islamic Sharia. Without both, there is no Islam.
And did Dr. Hamid quote them correctly then?
Of course, he quoted correctly, but his interpretation of his teacher, both are wrong and false and misleading, because Quran is a spoken word after 23 years of period to Prophet, peace be upon him. This is the best Hadith, Ahsan al-Hadith, as we mentioned in Quran, and it is also guidance to the mankind. It has to be understood from reference to context and also from asbab nuzul. Cannot be pick and choose any sentence and then see that this is what we mean.
But as an outsider, as a non-Muslim, those statements that were quoted by Dr. Hamid seem to be...
The translation is wrong.
How do you translate it then?
I translate it very seriously in this way, that once an Islamic state is established, where Muslims are an authority, there they have to ask non-Muslims or non-believers to accept the authority of Muslims and live under their authority.
And if
that's where the context is.
And if they don't accept that, do they face death?
No, not at all. Never. Never. There's no question of death at all, ever in the history. Otherwise, where Muslims were in rule, either in Spain or India or anywhere in the world, no non-Muslim would have ever lived.
So, Dr. Hamid, do you accept that this is a legitimate, a different interpretation, but a legitimate one, and that the problem that Muslims like yourself face is that there's no way of distinguishing which is, if you like, the more valid?
No, actually, what Dr. Sajid has said, I don't believe it is correct at all, because there is no single Islamic textbook that is approved in Saudi Arabia or in Al-Azhar University or in big Islamic universities that teaches the opposite, that teaches that Muslims should not declare war on non-Muslim to subjugate them to Islam or jizya, humiliating text or to be killed. If Dr. Sajid has such a text or he knows this text, let him tell us what this text is.
First of all, Darul Harb is not Islamic term. It's a term of Al-Mawardi in 12th century. It's not a common Quran. Never even mentioned that. Number two, Dr. Sajid, just a moment here, please.
So do you say that what the early Muslims did of invading north of Africa, just a moment, and making the Coptic Christians subjugated to humiliating tax for hundreds of years and offering them Islam or jizya to be killed is wrong concept? This is what I hear.
Take
I want to hear from you.
An example of that the Prophet and the companion as the early Muslims. So none of them attacked anybody. They were attacked by the pagans of Mecca. Happened in Medina. All Harbs, 27 of them, were all Muslims, were persecuted and attacked. Not a single time they went anywhere else.
Can we just deal with the situation now, which, as I understand it, is there's an interpretation of the Quran and Hadith widely held, not just by Al-Qaeda, but large numbers in the world, by the Wahhabis, for example, by Saudi Arabia.
I want to know the quotation of any Wahhabi or any Salafi. He has not quoted a single quotation in his whole book I read him.
Dr. Hamid, apart from Al-Qaeda, who do you think among Muslims accepts the interpretation that you put forward of some of the sayings which you say encourage the use and legitimate the use of violence?
I believe that from my personal experience, a significant majority believe in them, but they don't apply them. That is the difference between believing in a concept and taking it further to application. So Al-Qaeda take the concept to application level, but majority of Muslims believe in these things. They don't have other form of teaching. And it is not only that. Like, I'm talking about the whole concept of violence, that I believe they are correlated.
Imam Sajid, can I ask you, do you recognize Dr. Hamid as a Muslim, holding the views that he holds?
Do you recognize him as a Muslim if he doesn't believe in Quran, which says that...
I believe in the Quran, of course, but I have different
Quran says that if you do not respect and believe in the Prophet, then you are not Muslim. That if you do not accept the authority of the Prophet over you, and if you do not accept that you love Prophet more than yourself, then you yourself are excluding yourself from Islam.
I follow the Prophet, but I don't follow Al-Bukhari, which I believe is a book that lied a lot on the Prophet.
Imam, can I just put this to you? Since there is no authority in Islam that can pronounce definitively on the interpretation of both the Quran and Hadith, and since there are people like Al-Qaeda interpreting those works in ways that you think are wrong, what can be done to withdraw, if you like, or nullify their support, to persuade other Muslims that they are misinterpreting the Holy Word?
I can tell you categorically with authority that mainstream Islam has always remained within the tent of Quran and Sunnah, which is not only peaceful, loving, tolerant, but also accepting the other and working together. And that has been historically proved when Muslims were either in Jerusalem and anywhere else in authority, everyone lived in a peace.
Dr. Abdul Jalil Sajid and Tawfiq Hamid talking to me earlier.